When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat, privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed those who were ill. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he told the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and they were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children.
But we're here at this gospel reading with Jesus feeding the 5,000 in Matthew's gospel. In other gospels you'll hear 10,000. So it's 5,000 men, women and children. So actually, if we said 5,000 women and children and then some men were there, it'd probably be a better way around of saying it. Last week when I spoke to you about our reading then of the parable, I said church can be about learning, us gathering together can be about learning to train our ear to what God is already doing. It can be about us seeing the small things that happen that we might not consider if we don't teach and learn to recognize those signs. The thing about this gospel that always stands out for me is we don't read the bit before it when we do the gospel. The lectionary is like that. It cuts sections out. We lose the bit, and it says in the beginning, it will say, and then what? Like, what happened before? That's important. We should always go back and look. The "and then" in this is Jesus is probably at his lowest ebb. His cousin has been murdered. That's the beginning of 14. John the Baptist has been murdered. Partly because the stuff that they're doing is upsetting those in power. So Jesus goes on a boat to get some time to himself. Something we would all do. We would separate ourselves. We'd go and make some space when things are hard. We need a moment, right? But he doesn't get that moment. A crowd gathers knowing who Jesus is. And when he lands on this isolated peninsula, this place, Jesus sees them. He really sees them. He sees their needs, their wants, their loves, their call, the reason they've come to him at that moment. And he doesn't say, "You know what, I'm in a bad place right now, guys, I'm sorry. I haven't got a moment to do this. It's not the time." It says he saw their needs and he met them. He met them. Those needs were healing and prayer and emotional and all sorts of things. Jesus met them in their need. He saw their real need and he met them. And then he saw their physical needs. It's time to eat. They were hungry. It was late. They were far from shops. There was no Morley's around the corner. And when he said to the disciples, "Feed them," they could only see lack. They could only see the fact they didn't have. They could only see there wasn't enough. That's me, most of the time. My kids will call me a grumpy old man. Anyone who spends any time with me knows that I'm a person who sees things mostly from a pragmatic view. Sometimes that could be less than pragmatic, could be called just downright grumpy. But I'm often caught in that thing of I don't have enough to do this. I can't make this work. I haven't got enough resources. I'm not strong enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not whatever enough I need at that moment. But Jesus says, you know what? Don't worry about that. Come, bring them. Bring what you have and bring them. They sat down on the grass, as we saw, as the young people shared, and he fed them. Their physical needs were met, not from lack, from abundance. It's a different mindset. It's a change completely in what you do. Lack says, I can't. Abundance says, well, we'll make it. Whatever happens, happens. We'll do something. Abundance is a different mindset. It seems to me that Jesus is constantly coming from a place of abundance because he just knows. Obviously, he's God. I'm not God, so I see my lack. But in my lack and God's abundance, they meet, and more than 5,000 people were fed and got to stay and be. So what does it look like when Jesus shows us to live in a place of abundance, where we bring our lack to Jesus' abundance? I'm going to tell you a story about a church I used to work with in Peckham. It's no longer there. It doesn't exist anymore. So you could call that lack, right? The church is gone. The community that was part of the, going to church on Sunday in that building, they're still going strong. But from that community, that place, it was a church that was linked to the church Ian used to run. Part of a network of churches in Southeast London, and it used to be my office. So I would go in and work there a couple of days a week. Phil, who's nodding right there, knows the story I'm about to tell, because Phil was there at the offset of some of this stuff. Phil's just sitting in the robe, just there, nodding at me, as because this story is partly his story, and there's a few other people who've been involved in this story. But this church birthed lots of things that were not controlled by the church. So the church used its resources to birth stuff. One of the things that birthed from that church is the charity I used to work for called XLP, which is a youth work charity which works across London, helping young people who are at risk of all sorts of things. But XLP didn't grow that church. It left the church because it needed to grow itself and become a charity that did more things, because in the church it was too small. There was a guy called Les Isaac who'd frequent that church every now and again, and Les Isaac created what we call Street Pastors now. There's a charity called Ascension Trust. Again, that church resourced and set free Street Pastors, which now works across the world, engaging Christians in their community where there's troubles, where there's issues of violence, where there's issues in the community. People from the church gather, they train, and they walk, and they pray, and they meet people's needs. That's Street Pastors. It comes out of, and Ascension Trust. Then there was another charity, which no longer would you know that it comes from a Christian organization, but called Red Fred. Red Fred was released in Southwark, in Peckham, about 30 years ago, to work with young people, well, across London now. And it, one of the bits of work that Red Thread do is they have embedded youth workers in hospitals, in A&E departments. So when a young person comes in who's been stabbed or has had something happen to them that needs support longer term than just medical, they do that. And Red Thread comes from the group of churches and community organizations in that place at the time. And then one of the members of the congregation at that church became the kind of the CEO, the head of Habitat for Humanity Great Britain, which is a housing charity that works all across the world, building homes for people who have nothing. That's what abundance looks like when faith and facilitation meet. That a church can birth and free people to the point where they don't position themselves from lack, but they meet Jesus, and Jesus expands and grows what they could ever imagine. That's one little church that closed. But a community that empowered, facilitated, engaged, released people to meet the needs they saw in their community. They saw this gospel and the gospels of Jesus, saw that Jesus met people's needs holistically, spiritually, emotionally, medically, and physically. And they imagined what it could look like if they were empowered to do it. And they did it because of that abundance that they felt God was giving. They started small. All of them didn't look like that in the beginning. I can tell you the stories of XLP in the beginning was a computer in the corner of a dark room with water leaking onto it that everyone could use once a day. Luckily, by the time I got there, that had changed slightly, and I made sure everyone had a laptop. But things start, just like the parables we had last week, really small. But they need imagination and abundance in our hearts, a way of seeing what God does to birth them, and a way of calling that into existence by prayer and with God and by seeing what God's already doing. That's my sermon. Abundance comes from seeing what Jesus' life teaches us in the Bible by praying and working to see what God is already doing and being released into doing some of that stuff, whatever it may be. Because each one of us will see something different. You'll have a yearning, a passion, a moment that is pulling you that you don't know how to meet. And that's the training of your ear and your eye to see what God's calling you to. So, that's the vision of this place. Can I, as your leader, loosely, I take the vicar title, I find it very hard to accept. It's mine, I have to. Can I facilitate you, all of you, being trained towards what God is already doing and releasing you into what it may be that you're passionate for, that you've been bubbling inside with? I'll try everything I can.